for scripture reading. Today's scripture is taken from Ephesians 5, verse 14. Therefore he says, "Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Please remain standing for ancient words. I mean in your time.
That are spoken today. Let these be your words, not my words, Lord. And please guide us to that faithful day when you will come back for us. And hopefully that day is very soon, Lord. Thank you so much. Please bless your word. Bless all the minds that are going to be hearing and the hearts that are going to be hearing your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Good to see all your beautiful smiling faces. There's a couple that aren't smiling, but maybe we'll be smiling by the end of the day. It's kind of hard not to be happy today because we've all endured so much heat, and it's finally nice to be able to get a break. So we thank the Lord for that. And we also thank the Lord that we live in such a nice, calm, collective, loving, intelligent world, right? Well, that part's not very true, is it, right? Because none of that is true. We do not live in a world that is kind and collective and on one page and intelligent. Unfortunately, we live in a world that is just spiraling and sliding out of control. And there's going to be a battle that we need to fight, and the title for today is, Will We Go to the Battle? Right? We're going to read a couple. I've got two different scriptures that I'd like to share with you, and they all kind of have to do with going, the first one, and going into a battle setting, and the second one is actually going to be going into battle. So the whole world right now, we really notice that it's on edge, right? Can everybody feel that? Hopefully we've all feel calm and collective and everything's nice when we're here, but when we leave here or when we leave our houses, we feel, you can just feel that tension, that the whole world is really on edge, and it is. And everybody wants to go to battle and go to war over everything. Any slight disagreement, the world just explodes. We see all of these murderous acts, all these heinous acts that are happening just because somebody cut you off going onto the freeway, or for somebody accidentally put onions on your hamburger when you requested no onions. I mean, these little tiny things just rage out of control, and we see these people just losing control. You know, my mom used to always tell me, and have her voice sometimes in my head, "Brett, pick your battles," right? And I think, who's heard of that before? Pick your battles, right? And I think it probably comes from this. It comes from Proverbs 20, verse 3. It says, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving," which it means, in other words, or stop the fighting. And then it says, "Since any fool can start a quarrel," right? And we need to pick our battles where we really want to dig our heels in, and we really want to say, no, on this opinion and on this thing, I'm not changing. This is what I believe, and I'm willing to debate you on that. I'm willing to have this struggle, this back and forth. But everybody in the world today digs their heels in under just these little tiny things. So I always remember when I see sometimes these things going on, my mom saying, "Brett, pick your battles." And I'm wondering, really, is this a battle that these people are choosing? And, you know, we're coming up on the election times, and election times are just the worst for our country. It just brings up so much stuff, and we can see that going on. And it's just going to get worse until the time gets closer to that. And when we have these elections and we have these debates, we kind of realize that nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody has a calm head, and nobody knows the answers to anything. They'll ask them and say, "What is your answer to global warming?" Nobody has an answer. We get this political response. Nobody knows the answer. What's the answer to homelessness? We have our government and the world today, we don't have an answer to the homeless situation. We don't have an answer on how to lower crime rates, lower this rage that is happening. Right, our leaders and our people today, we don't have a clue what we're doing, it seems like. Or am I the only one that kind of sees that or feels that way? The world, we don't know what we're doing anymore. We're going on, we're inventing things, and it seems like everything that we invent is good for something, but it ends up destroying the planet, so it's bad for another. Right? Anytime anybody likes something and promotes something, there's always somebody against it. So it just seems like we're running out of control. And we notice as Christians, we notice that all of this is caused by sin. Right? This world is just filled with sin, and we're all tainted by it. Even all of us who are in this church, we're all in some way tainted and affected by all the sin that is going on. And most of us, we only have one answer. What is the answer to the homeless situation? Jesus. Right? What is the answer to global warming? Jesus. Crime? Jesus. Sin? Jesus. Right? We know the answer, but we're not the ones that are in control of the heads of governments and countries and cities, right? So it's very hard that we have this answer here. Everybody in this church, we all have this answer, but the world doesn't. They don't know what to do. They have no clue. They come up with all these ideas, and they never work. It's because Christ is put aside all the time, right? We have the God mentioned in the national anthem, or in the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, we have to take that out all the time. Everybody's putting God aside. Is that working very well? No, it's not working. And as God's people, we're just kind of standing and waiting around, right? We're waiting almost with everybody else to see what's going to happen. And we're just kind of doing that. And my question is, you know, what are we waiting for? You know, as Christians, why haven't we taken, why isn't our voice heard a little bit more? And why isn't it seen, reflected in some of the issues that we have for our world? And with all of these things happening, Sorry, my voice is a little off today. With all these things happening in the world today, it might call you, you might have a feeling in your heart that you want to climb higher to be with God, that you want to strengthen your relationship with God. You want to give yourself to God, and you want to start helping other people, right? That can be the call when we see all of these things happening. We can also see the call that we notice that there's no right answer, and we're confused, and we don't know what to do, and then we kind of go with the flow. With whatever people say that sounds good, we'll get behind them. Yeah, we'll go with them, and we'll become part of the world, and we'll just go with the flow. And then there's another type of reaction when we see all these things going on, is we can just crawl up and hide under a rock. Does anybody ever feel like doing that sometimes? Just hiding under a rock, let the storm pass, but it's not going to pass, right? Hiding under a rock, it sounds like a good idea to escape this, but we're not going to be able to. So we see a lot of people, and everybody's just standing around. Everybody's just kind of, we're all in this waiting pattern, right? Isn't most of what we have to do in this world is we wait? We wait for things. We go to the doctor and you have your appointment and then you get in the room. How long do you wait in that room? Right? You go to the DMV, you get your number, and then you wait. So we fall into this trap of we do something and then we have to wait. We're all standing around and we're all waiting for things to happen. So I wanted to take you to a Bible passage where four men were standing around and they were waiting, and then they decided to take action. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read verses 3 through 9. So here we see these men, and let's read it. 2 Kings chapter 7, starting with verse 3. It says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die?'" And it says this in verse 4. "If we say," so now they're all together, they're planning together, they're sitting together, and they're having a discussion. And they're coming up with ideas. So verse 4 says this: "If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die." Not a bad plan, a little erratic plan, but let's see what it says here in verse 5. It says, "And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.'" Verse 7, "Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact and their tents and their horses and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives." Verse 8, "Then these lepers came into the outskirts of the camp. They went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver, gold, and clothing and went and hid them. They came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it." The last verse here in verse 9, "Then they said to one another, 'Why we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" So that's a great story of men that were just, they were in this horrible condition. First of all, they're lepers, right? And they're relying on people to bring them food. And they notice that there's no more, the food is not coming anymore, and they need to do something else. They realize their situation is that they are going to die. And they take action. And they come up with a pretty good plan because they saved themselves. So when I was reading this, there were four points that I thought that were really important. That there's four takeaways that we should have from this. And the first one is that they realized what their condition was. They realized the state of living that they were in. And they realized that they did not, if they stayed doing what they were doing, they would die. Right? There was a famine going on. Nobody was bringing them food anymore. They would die. So what really hit me is these men were astute, and these men really took the time to reflect on their lives and what was happening, and they looked at the outcome of their life. They were very forward-thinking. What is going to happen to us? They formed a group, and they got together, and they noticed their condition that they were in. And the lepers, because there was famine in the land, remember, the lepers in this time, you had to be outcast from the city. So you could no longer live in the city. You had to be taken out of the city, and they would live in these leper camps. And then their loved ones and people would go, and they would drop food off in a certain location, and they would go back, and the lepers would come. Well, that food stopped because there was famine going on. When there's famine going on and there's no food for you and your family, the last thing you're going to do is take it to somebody who's already dying, who's a leper, right? So the leper camp, there was no more. I'm not sure if there was only four left in this leper camp, but these four men, they noticed and they realized that they had to take drastic measures in order to survive, right? And their decisions and what they were going to do, they couldn't go into the city. There was nothing in the city. They couldn't stay put. So their plan was to go into the enemy's camp. We'll get to that a little bit later. But these men realized their condition. For a lot of us here, we have not always grown up in the church, or if you have grown up in the church, there is still a time in our lives where we reflect on our condition, because none of us are ever perfect. Do you remember when you noticed your condition and noticed that in your life, if you continued down that way, you would die? Right? We all sin. And the penalty of sin is death. We all know that. But some of us, including myself, if I would have stayed in my actual situation where I was, I would have died. Drugs, alcohol, more gunshot wounds, more, you know, killing. That would have been me. I realized my condition and I changed. But a lot of times this happens multiple times throughout our life, that we notice our condition. That we notice that, hey, I'm stuck here. I have no more food. I have no more support. What's going on? So we all need to take the time to notice our condition. It doesn't matter if we're coming to church every Sabbath. We can still be in a condition that is leading us towards death. So these men noticed their condition, and they realized that they had to make a change. The second thing that I noticed here is that they chose to go to, in order for them to continue to live and to get life, they had to go into enemy territory. And that's interesting, right? All right, I'd like you to humor me a little bit here, because it's not a direct correlation here, but think about this. In order for them to have life, they need to go into enemy territory. In order for us to have life, we need to go into enemy territory. And enemy territory is any place where the Lord is not present. When we're talking today, right, where the Lord is not present, where we need to get outside of the church and we go out into the public, into this world that I was describing at the beginning, when we go out into that place, we are in enemy territory. And in enemy territory, that is where we are going to find life. And we will find lives in enemy territory, but we also find life ourselves. When we get out into the mission field, and when we get out into helping others, that's where we live. That's where we should live. So these men had to leave and go into enemy territory to find life. And I'm telling you today, and the Word of God is telling you today, that we will find life when we go out into enemy territory. We will find our purpose in life when we go into the enemy territory and we begin to share Christ. And when we begin to pull people in so that they notice their condition, they come to Christ, and it's this big cycle on how we reach other people. So if you haven't gone out to the mission field, if you're not giving Bible studies, if you're not preaching the Word of God, and you're not out there in enemy territory, you might be the one of the people that are thinking about your condition and where you at in your life. Because we need to get out there. We need to be out in enemy territory, saving those lives of the people that are out there. So that's what these men did. The second thing that I really took away from that reading. And the third thing that's very interesting is that because when we fully decide to go, God opens the way. Did you notice that? Because in verse 5, it said, at twilight, these four lepers, they arose and they went to go to the enemy territory. And then in verse 7, it says that the army at twilight heard God came, right? And he said, hey, there's another, he made noises as if another army was coming towards them, right? God opened the way and they both left at the same time. God made the army leave so that these men could then go in and have life because they needed food. They were in desperate need of food. And what did they find there in the tent? They had food. They got to eat. Yeah, it mentions they had gold and silver as well, but they got to eat. So sometimes we get stuck in, we are waiting for God to open the door, and then God's sitting back and he's waiting for us to make a move. And once these men made a move, God opened the door and had everything done. And that's what God wants to do in our lives a lot of the time too. He wants to see us make a move. But sometimes we don't know what to do and we don't know if we're making the right decision. So what we do is we don't do anything. And that's what we need to get away from. We need to look at our condition, see where we're at, notice where we're going, and then we need to go. We need to go and do it, right? And get out. And once we do that, God will open the doors for everything and anything that you need. All right, it's so wonderful. There is a part of the book Prophet and Kings, page 263, that I'd like to read for you here. It says, when God opens the way for the accomplishment of a certain work, he gives assurance of success. The chosen instrumentality must do all in his power to bring about the promised result. God can work miracles for his people only as they act their part in untiring energy. He calls men and women of devotion to his work, men of courage with ardent love for souls and a zeal that never flags. Such workers will find no task too arduous, no prospect too hopeless. They will labor on undaunted until the apparent defeat is turned unto the glorious victory. Not even prison walls nor martyr stake beyond will cause them to swerve from their purpose of laboring together with God for the upbuilding of his kingdom. God opens the way. When we start to go, he opens it up and he guides us through everything. And then all we need to do is go forward with all of our energy. pray about it, and just go. Sometimes we'll adjust our path once we start going, but we need to go. People just, we have the tendency of waiting and trying to know if we're doing the exact right thing before we go. But God will guide us. He will open the way and give us assurance once we start of our accomplishment and what we're going to be able to do. The fourth thing here is, when we notice our condition, we make a move, we see God's hand at work, the last part is that we can't go silent. The last part is that we cannot just hold in what we've done and what we've seen to ourselves, right? We read at the end of this, at the end of the scripture, it says here, it says, we're not doing right. Because the Lord opened the way. The Lord pulled the enemy, a whole army, away from their camp so that these four men could eat. If you read the whole scripture, there's other implications there with the army leaving and everything and Elijah the prophet. But right here, these four men could not stay quiet. They had to go tell about what God had done. They had to go tell the other people that were in the famine and going through that here's a place, here's food, here's money. The enemy has left. So when we go out and we make a decision, we notice our condition, we make a decision, we go out and we start doing this work, we can't hold it in, which usually isn't very hard for us human beings because we like to share the good things that happen in our lives. We usually like to share that. So this is usually not too hard. But we shouldn't just share the benefits. We can't go out like these four men and go back and be like, hey, we got gold. The thing that they wanted to share was that God got them the gold. God got them the food, right? So we cannot remain silent. We need to go out and we need to share. Our scripture reading is Ephesians 5:14. It says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Some of us are asleep, and some of us, it's like we're almost even dead. We need to get up. We need to get up. We need to go. We need to have Christ give us light into what we need to do. Friends, we serve an almighty God, a wonderful God, a God that is able to do so many things. You agree with me? I wonder if you agree with me that we are truly today living in a war setting. Do you, heard some amens, do you guys realize that we are living in a war setting? And I want to get to the second scripture that I wanted to share with you today. And I didn't have it planned. I don't know how I came across this scripture, but it's wonderful. And I wanted you to take a look here, because back in the biblical days, we read a lot in the Old Testament. There were a lot of wars. There were a lot of battles. And what happened was you would have a people, right? God had his people. And then what happened was before they would go into battle, they would bring a priest. A priest would come out and he would speak to the men that were going to fight in the battle. And he would give them comforting words, and he would talk to them, and he would pray with them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 9, there is actually a description of one of those wartime settings where the priest came down, and I want to share that with you today. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open them up, you can follow along with me in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And verse 1 says this: when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Are we on the verge of battle today? Every day we're on the verge and we're in this battle, right? It says, do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or do not be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So these next verses that we're going to read right here, think of it as God is and the priest is speaking to you before you go out into battle, right? First, the priest is saying, do not worry. Don't be terrified. Don't worry about anything you see, anything you hear, anything you're going to do, because I am with you. And then verse 5 says this. So the priest stops speaking right there. And then it says, then the officer shall speak to the people. This is verse 5. Then the officer shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicated it. So they're about to go into battle. The priest spoke. And now this officer is coming up and he's saying these things, right? If you just built a new house, you just got a house, go ahead, you can go home. All right, and let's see what he says here. Verse 6 says, also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eat of it. What man is there who has betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man marry her. Then the officer shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. In verse 9, it says this. So it shall be when the officers have finished speaking to the people that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. So we see this, and we see that all of Israel gathered together, all who are going to be fighting in this battle, and the priest comes, he speaks, then the officers speak, and he's sending people home. People are leaving. They're going back. They're leaving ranks because of what's going on in their lives. Even those who are just fearful, if you're a little scared, go home. It's okay. So let's take a look at these groups real quick. So in verse 5, it says, what a man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. So my first question is, we're about to go into battle. Who cares if somebody has a new house? We're talking about battle here. We're getting out there. Why is this an issue? Well, it's an issue because if you're going to go into battle and you're just thinking about your house and you're thinking about your possessions and you're thinking about the things that you're going to do to the house, that you still have plans. You're going to put solar panels in. You're going to put a whole house fan in. You're going to put a pool in. So you're going to be thinking about all these things. You're going to be thinking about these possessional things. And so this person shouldn't go into battle. They're not ready. They're dwelling on their house. They're dwelling on their possessions. So then they're saying that, well, you can go home. If you have a new house, haven't dedicated it, go ahead, you can go home. Do you think everybody who had a house and had a new house went home? There were probably some that still had a new house, but they still stayed there. They're like, yeah, my house can wait. We're about to go into battle. Right? So this man, the war would have not been his top priority. His house would have been his top priority. And then we go to verse 6, and it says, what a man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? The best thing to plant a vineyard is, or when you plant a crop, is to be able to grab that crop and eat it, right? The sowing and being able to partake of all that. But this person was too worried about his job, was too worried about his work. So he wasn't fit to go to battle. He wouldn't have been right. So he went home. Then you have in verse 9, it says, "And what man is there who has betrothed to a woman and has not married her?" How could you possibly go to war and go into a battle when you just fell in love? Right? When you have this woman or this man in your life that you want to give your life to them, how are you going to go into battle? So they were thinking about their love. Verse 8, just plainly, the officer says, "We're all here. We're all representing Israel. We're going to fight. But if you're scared and you're fearful, you can go home. Don't worry about it. We got it." Right? This whole time, these officers are weeding out these different people who don't have their heart fully into the battle. And they're weeding it out. So from this huge group that first got together, now we only have this small group of people, this small group of men. And it says here, finally, after that, that the officers, after finished speaking to the people, and there's a lot less people here, it says that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. So then what happens is the people that are left are going to be turned into captains, and they are going to be the ones that are going to be going forward to fight the battle. They're going to be the first ones in line to fight the battle. The captains, in due time, does a captain fight by himself? A captain usually fights with a group of people, right? Their squadron, their people. So these captains, it says they are going to lead them and lead the people. So over time, these captains are going to form their groups and grab their groups and then go out and fight together this battle that they're fighting. So take a look at this, because this scripture is kind of talking about how we would bring groups of people together. Right? We have talked about Johnny Wong came and talked. We talked about it in the business meeting as well. And we talked about starting and doing small groups here at Sac Central. Here at Sac Central, we want to start and go forward with small groups. So what happens is the priest will go ahead and go up and talks to the multitude about doing small groups and serving the Lord and going out and fighting in the battle. And then after that, we have other people that we are going to train to be able to train people and ask people if they want to participate. And we are going to start forming these small groups. First, we'll have leaders of the small groups. Then the leader will get a second person, a co-leader. And then these people will then reach out and will grab people to go out. And these small groups will go out and go into enemy territory, and they will bring people and they will save lives. So right here, this is a great example of how you weed out the people who really want to go to war, and you form groups. And these battle, it wasn't just a free-for-all. It wasn't just like, yeah, we're going into battle, go. No, they planned, they whittled it out. They had captains, they got organized, they had groups, and then they went into war. And that same thing is done today. If you look at the government and how we go out, they go out in missions. And we are going to go out. Our mission and going forward at Sac Central is to start small groups, and we want to invite small groups, the people from outside, into these small groups. And these small groups, what they're going to do is they're going to secretly and stealthily go out into enemy territory, and they are going to find life. Life for themselves, life for the group, and life for those who are on the outside. That's what we want to do here at Sac Central. And we are going to be calling on captains, weeding out who wants to come, who wants to be a part of it, who wants to get ready for the battle and go into battle. We're going to get trained. We're going to get organized, and we're going to do it in the right way, and we're going to follow it through basically Scripture. And all of this starts with us noticing our condition. Like these four lepers, they noticed their condition. They noticed that their lives were hanging in the balance if they did not take action. Then they took action. And after they took action, God led them. And when God led them, they then shared about what was going on. When we go out and we go into the battlefield, we are going to share with our small group, with our people, with our congregation, the successes we have had because of God and what He has done, not what we have done, but what He has done. And then we're going to go out and we're going to continue to go and we're going to get out there into the battlefield and out into where the people are. We can't just sit around and wait. If we sit around and wait, we're just going to die. We are going to find life. I guarantee it. We will find life and purpose for ourselves when we go out and we get into enemy territory. Not to be influenced by the enemy, but to influence the enemy and bring them to Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite our choristers to come up, and we will reflect on this song that will be sung, and we can all participate. And I hope that we can decide whether we are truly going to go into battle or not.
Please stand as we sing our hymn of dedication, hymn number 488, At First I Prayed for Light.
Pray this larger prayer. Lord, we ask that you lift up all of us here at Sac Central, Lord, that we will be able to notice our condition, that we will be able to get up and get in line and start forming these secret small groups that are going to go out and infiltrate enemy lines. Lord, we don't want to do any of this without your blessing and without your help. Lord, we know with 100% insurance that when we go out, when we take action and we go out for you, you will bless us and guide us, Lord. And we ask for that today, that you be with us, Lord. But first, help us to notice our condition. Help us to notice how frail we are. Help us to notice that if we just stand pat, we are going to die and we're going to lose our lives, Lord. But we can go out and we can live a full life and a life with you. And we ask for your blessing. We ask for your guidance, Lord. Be with us here today and be with your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Please be seated and you'll be dismissed.